Welcome back to another hour of Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat.
Touchdown, Notre Dame! 70 yards, Book to Lindsey.
He gets it out to Leshefsky for three.
Got it! He got it!
Caught for the win, Kyle Rudolph!
From 96.1 WSBT.
Justin Fisher heading for the touchdown, his sixth of the night.
The Washington Nationals are World Series champions.
And that's a South Bend Cub Midwest League championship winner.
And the kick is good for the win. Pinheiro with a De Niro kick.
The sports leader.
And look who's coming up.
Here are your hosts, Darren Pritchett and Sean Stiers.
Hour number two for this Monday, April the 20th of 2020. Sports Beat from our home, Sean Stiers, Darren Pritchett with you. Great to have you with us. Hope you had a great weekend. Beautiful day here in South Bend. If you're listening on the Sports Beat app all across the country, hopefully you had beautiful sunshine like we had today in South Bend. Once again, the NFL draft coming up on Thursday. All of the action right here on WSBT Radio. We'll join ESPN Radio for the first round after our program Thursday at 7 o'clock. Sean and Darren with you. Let's talk some Chicago Bears football. Lester Wilfong, editor-in-chief of WindyCityGridiron.com, joins us on WSBT Radio. Lester, it's Darren. Great to be with you on this Monday evening. How are you?
Thanks, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Doing very well. Good. Thank you so much. Before we get into the draft, let's kind of pick up on one of the major storylines in the offseason, Lester, and that is the Chicago Bears acquiring Nick Foles to go along with Mitchell Trubisky. Do you truly believe, like the Bears are talking, this will be a true competition once practice gets underway? And then part two is, who do you believe ultimately will get the first shot in week one?
I think it's an open competition to a point. I think heading in, since Trubisky's the incumbent, I think he'll be the number one starting camp. But once camp starts going, Nick Foles, his grasp of the offense, his understanding of NFL defense, I think will kind of overtake Trubisky at some point. And I think when it gets down to it, week one, it's going to be Nick Foles starting for the Bears.
Well, so I guess along those lines, the comments from Trubisky's former teammate, Cal Long, last week kind of seems to say that this is it for Mitch Trubisky in Chicago. Do you think that it's, you know, a make or break year for him, or do you think it's, you know, the handwriting's on the wall and he's pretty much done already?
Yeah, I think obviously he'll have this year, unless a draft day trade, which I'm not sure will happen. Things have to go really right in order for them to make a trade on draft day for Trubisky. But I think if this year is his last year in the contract, I can't see him picking up a 50-year option. So, I mean, the best-case scenario for the Bears would be for him to really have it all figured out. I mean, he's younger. He has a much better arm. He's much more athletic than Foles. You know, it would be the best-case scenario for the Bears for him to get it and figure it out. But ultimately, it's on him. If he does have a great year, then you franchise tag him. You get him for the fifth year anyway. So the price there is not a big of a difference between the franchise tag and the fifth-year option. So, you know, they're going to let the chips fall where they may, but ultimately, I think I agree with Kyle Long, and I think it's going to be his last year in Chicago.
For people that aren't familiar with Windy City Gridiron, it's a part of the SB Nation family, so go to WindyCityGridiron.com for Bears information on SB Nation. And I was looking today, Lester, at the website, and you had the opportunity to ask some opinions to the guys at NBC Sports Chicago, what the Bears might do in the second round. Obviously, they don't have a first-round pick, so they have the opportunity to pick for the first time at number 43 and again at number 50. Another two-part question for you. First off, since we're talking about quarterbacks, how important is it for the Bears to take a young quarterback in this draft? And number two, one of the guys that you asked the opinion of had the Bears at 50 taking Jalen Hurts, the quarterback from Oklahoma, formerly of Alabama. Do you see a fit there at all?
You know, I think with Jalen Hurts, I think he's going to be a good pro. I think if the Bears do take quarterback early, it's going to have to be a guy like Jalen Hurts. I don't see him lasting until the Bears pick again back in the fifth round. So unless they trade back and acquire some picks there, like in the second or in the third, I think if they want a guy like Hurts, you got to get him there in the second. And I think he is a good fit for the Bears. I mean, he's a guy that has won, you know, at both stops in college. You know, he has all the athletic traits. He has a really live arm. You know, I think he'll be a good pro eventually. He just may need a year to sit. But if the Bears are going to go all in on a guy that early in the draft, and I think then they may look to explore trading Trubisky, because I can't see him having, you know, Trubisky, Foles, and a guy as highly touted as Hurts on the roster.
Well, and when you look at the fact that they don't have a first-round pick, then they have the two in the second round, but then they don't have anything again to the fifth. So, where could they get the most impact, I guess, with those 43rd, pick number 43 and then pick number 50 as well?
Yeah, I think with Ryan Pace, we've seen him, throughout his history in Chicago, he's been a best player available guy. There's been a few times where he's been, a fix on a guy with Trubisky, obviously with Leonard Floyd, another guy he moved up to get in the draft. But for the most part, he pretty much stays best player available. And in that case, the Bears are looking at that as 43 and 50. You're looking at some safeties, you're looking at some guards, possibly an off the tackle if he slips on the board. There's going to be a lot of quality players the Bears can pick up there, and even a couple of guys from Notre Dame to be there for the Bears.
And just to build on that, Lester Wilfong Jr. from WindyCityGridiron.com is our guest. Trey Burton, tight end, was released a few days ago. Does that signify that the Bears are interested in another tight end coming up in the draft, or do you believe Jimmy Graham will be okay for the time being until they can possibly find another guy down the line?
I think a little bit of both. I think if the right guy is there for them when the board falls, I think they will take a tight end. But ultimately, I think they do believe in Jimmy Graham. I think they think Jimmy Graham was not used properly. I don't want to say not used properly in Green Bay, but that's an offense that doesn't really feature the tight end very much. I mean, it's the Rams offense with Sean McVay. There's not really a tight end that's been in that system that has really flourished. It's more based on the running back and the receivers getting the ball. So I think the Bears think Jimmy Graham has some better football in front of him. But on the same token, if a guy is there in the draft, like Komet, if they feel that he's up their board and he's there for him at 43 or 50, maybe they pull the trigger and get a guy like that.
Well, and Allen Robinson is their number one receiver, and that's another, I think, at least potential need. What do you think about a wide receiver there in the second round, and as well as any thoughts on what you've seen from Chase Claypool?
Yeah, that's another spot receiver. I mean, the Bears, they got rid of Taylor Gabriel, who was their main speed threat there. So there is an opening there for a guy if they want to bring a guy in. And this draft is pretty heavy with the wideouts. I mean, you can get a guy like KJ Hamler. In the second round, you mentioned Claypool, who's really another speed guy there. So that's definitely a spot you want to look into. A guy like Jalen Reagor from TCU, a guy that has the speed to stretch a defense, a guy that would fit and complement what they have right now in Allen Robinson and Anthony Miller. A speed guy would fit in right there either at 43 or 50.
Well, Lester, I tell you what, around these parts and across the country, Notre Dame fans, they would probably like a bronze statue of Harry Hiestand for the work he did with offensive linemen at Notre Dame. It didn't work out with the Chicago Bears. Do you have the sense that the parts are there for this offensive line to be better in 2020? And do you put much of the blame on Hiestand? I see an offense that didn't rely on the running game a whole lot last year. That probably didn't help much at all either with the way that offense works.
Yeah, I think Hiestand kind of got caught up in the Bears just didn't have a very good overall running scheme. I know that the way it was, the narrative's out that he had something to do with that. I'm not sure. I mean, this is a very well-respected offensive line coach. I mean, he was in Chicago before. His old players, they swear by him. The players he had at Notre Dame and at Tennessee, they all swear by him. So I'm not sure if he was much of the problem. It may have just been a schematic mismatch with him and Matt Nagy. So they decided to part ways. I think, with Coach Hiestand, he'll be okay wherever he ends up. I think that the pieces are there for the Bears. If you look at 2 years ago, going into the offseason, you figured the offensive line was one of the Bears' strengths. They had Charles Leno and Whitehair both made the Pro Bowl. Bobby Mackey on the right side is a serviceable right tackle. Young James Daniels was solid there. So I think they thought they had enough pieces in place. But this year, like you said, the lack of running game kind of hurt the overall scheme of things, and the O-line really suffered.
Lester, this is going to be Ryan Pace's sixth draft with the Bears, and his results have been kind of mixed, probably more mixed in the first round, but of course they don't have any first round picks this year. What in general do you think of the way Ryan Pace has drafted in his first 5 years?
It's a quarterback driven league, And the fact that he got the quarterback spot wrong really hurts what he did here. I mean, if you look at his overall hit rate, is pretty good. I mean, he's had more hits and misses than a lot of guys in the league, but it all comes down to the quarterback. And the fact that he really banked on Mitch Trubisky being the man, it didn't work out. I mean, yeah, it could still happen this year, but it hasn't yet. So the fact that he took him over guys like, you know, the guys that are there, Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, that really hurts his overall grade.
He is never going to outlive that, no matter what he does in the draft for many, many years to come. Lester, as we know, when the Bears are elite, that means they have one of the best defenses in the National Football League. How close are they to returning to that level that they had 2 years ago?
You know, the difference between 2 years ago and last year, I mean, from the DVOA metric, you know, the Bears still had a top five defense. You know, I think they were top three in points allowed this last season. You know, they're missing the turnovers. They're missing the sacks. Part of that was due to injury. Part of it was due to the offense being so broken last year where it couldn't, they couldn't have any sustained drive. That really hurt the defense overall. I think if the offense is more confident, and it should be this year with Nick Foles, they stay on the field a little bit more. It keeps that defense fresh, and I think the defense will bounce back and get closer to what they were in 2018.
You know, Lester, when I look at a team going into the draft, I kind of look at, are they drafting overall more for the short term, for this year, or is it more a long-term approach? And when I look at the Bears, it seems a little bit split. What do you think of where they are right now?
I think the Bears felt that they were going all in when they made the trade for Khalil Mack. So I think Ryan Pace thought his roster was ready to win then. And the Bears were pretty good in 2018. You know, they were 12-4. They went to the playoffs, and then it all fell off last year. So I think Ryan Pace thinks his roster is still pretty solid. I think he has a really good defense. And again, I think it's all about the quarterback. He thinks if the quarterback is good, you know, this offense should be back, you know, much closer to what it was a couple years ago and get this team back in the playoffs. And with that being said, I think they're going to draft more for impact players this year. They may trade back a little bit off one of those second-round picks, but I think the plan is to come away with two impact players with the first two picks because they feel this is a win-now roster.
Lester, my final question for you, when you take a look at the NFC North pre-NFL draft, how would you rank the four football teams since free agency is all but over at this point?
It's hard to go against the Packers because they have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. You know, I think last year they had a lot of really close games. They kind of overachieved a little bit. So they should take a step back this season. But again, they have Aaron Rodgers. He's still one of the best quarterbacks in the game today. So I think he's still got to put the Packers number one until his team comes up and beats him. And then the Vikings, another really talented roster. I think the Vikings and Bears are kind of in the same mix there. And then the Lions, I really like what they've done the last few years in the draft, but it hasn't really translated to wins. But, you know, that's a team that's due. So, I mean, I think it's a tough division top to bottom. But I think until proven otherwise, you got to still rank it Packers, Vikings, Bears, Lions.
Wow. So based on what you're saying right there, if Nick Foles is your starting quarterback, are they at least in the conversation to be a playoff team at the end of the season?
Yeah, I think if Foles can play like he's shown in the past in this system, and he's done it, you know, in Philadelphia, he did it for a few games in KC a few years ago. You know, he has had success in the system. You know, he believes in himself in the system. He basically banked on himself the way he redid his contract. You know, he redid his contract because he really thinks he's going to be the man this year in Chicago. He feels there's another big payday coming for him down the road. So if everything works out like the Bears and Nick Foles expect, I think this team will be back in the playoff mix. And if that's the case, yeah, they should be there. But again, if we're just going off base off right now, it's hard to overtake the Packers just because, you know, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Lester, for Bears fans and our listening audience looking for some information on the Bears this week, what are they going to find at WindyCityGridiron.com?
We got a few more mock drafts coming up. Our lead draft analyst, Jacob Infante, just dropped his top 150 big board. We got a few podcasts coming up, previews. Just this whole week, all through next week, going to be all drafts all the time.
Very good. Lester Wilfong, Jr., Editor-in-Chief of WindyCityGridiron.com, part of the SB Nation family. Lester, good to catch up with you today. Greatly appreciate your time, and hopefully we can talk again soon.
Sounds good, fellas. Anytime.
Thank you so much. Lester Wilfong Jr., Editor-in-Chief, WindyCityGridiron.com. You mentioned Jacob Infante's big board, just taking a look at that right now. And as we talked about last hour, Chase Young, number one player on the board with Joe Burrow second. What I found interesting, he has Jerry Jeudy, the Alabama wide receiver, coming in at number three. And as I quickly go down the list here, looking for Cole Kmet, he comes in at number 45 overall. And as I go down the list a little further, Chase Claypool comes in at number 62 on the big board. Our thanks to Lester Wilfong Jr. for joining us here on WSBT Radio. And you can hear Chicago Bears football once again this fall on our sister station, Z94.3 FM. Coming up next, Rapid Fire as Sports Beat rolls on 621 at 96.1 WSBT and live on the Sports Beat app.